Mark chapter 1. And I didn't know so much was inside of Mark chapter 1. I don't know, this is probably the fifth or sixth message I've preached out of Mark chapter 1. But this morning I'd like to preach out of verses 21 through 28, and then 32 and 34. So if we would, in honor of God's word, let's stand to our feet. And thank you for the song selection, Brother George. Thank you for the singing this morning. We appreciate that. We thank the Lord for His servants. Amen. Appreciate those who taught Sunday school this morning, those that, who have given, those who have participated in prayer this morning, just have come to be part of this service. And I appreciate that so much this morning. Here in chapter 1 of Mark, as we're still on the same theme, walk as Christ walked. And in order to do that, we've got to find out how He walked. We find out in verse 21, it says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there it was in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with Thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art Thou come to destroy us? I know Thee, who Thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. They were all amazed, insomuch that they all questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee." There in verse 32, "And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. He healed many that were sick of divers diseases, cast out many devils, suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for just being my Savior, being my Lord and God. Father, we're asking for the filling and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd set me to the side. Lord, that you'd use me for thy glory and for thy honor. Lord, if there's anything in my heart this morning, Lord God, that desires more than just be a blessing to the people that you have here this morning, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd answer that prayer. Pray, Father, that you'd use me, dear God, as a vessel, Lord, as a tool, Father, to see that somebody, God, would get saved, or somebody, God, will make their heart right with God. Father, I pray you'll give us this Word of God this morning, and God, help us to apply it to our lives. God, help us to put feet to our faith. God, help us to live accordingly. Father, I thank you again for the visitors we have. Thank you for the members, Lord God. Thank you for the church you provided. Thank you for the Word of God that's been read already, and the songs that sung, the fellowship we've had, and the prayers that have been offered. Father, I thank you, Lord, for being such a good and kind God. We pray this morning, Lord, that you'll be pleased with our worship. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As Jesus walked, and we find in Mark, he gives us these little small events that take place in the Jesus' day. You know, if you want to know anything about the perfect walk or the perfect life, you got to go to the perfect man. Amen? And Jesus was that perfect man. And however he walked is the perfect way to walk. If you can walk like Jesus walked, then you're going to walk like God walked. Amen? You can't get no better, and you're not going to get any better than walking as Jesus walked. I noticed three things this morning concerning the Scripture, and we preached on last week some of these things. I won't go into that, but I didn't finish the message, but I want to continue with a different type of message this morning. But I want you to notice that Jesus entered into a dead assembly. Jesus has entered into a dead assembly. When you look there in verse 21, the Bible says, "He entered into the synagogue and taught." Now, we understand and know, if you know anything about the Old Testament, when God called out the children of Israel out of Egypt, He told Moses and the people to build a tabernacle. At the tabernacle was where God's dwelling would be amongst His people. The tabernacle was moved from here to here. It was a portable in the way that it was made. And then David wanted to build a permanent temple there in Jerusalem. God gave, through Solomon, that prayer and that desire. They built the temple there in Jerusalem. In the days of Jesus, the temple was still there. The synagogue didn't take the place of the temple, for nothing could take the place of the temple but Jesus Himself. Amen? And so while the temple was there in Jerusalem, they built these little synagogues all over the place so that people that were Jewish could go into a synagogue, not taking place of the temple, but just in their local town, in their local community, and they would come together, and it was used for three different reasons. The synagogue was used for a place where people would come and to worship or come to hear the reading of God's Word or the teaching of God's Word. It was also used during the week as a school for the children. It's also used as a courtroom where they would come and small differences, they would come to the synagogue and they would work it all out. And so we find this morning that Jesus came on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day was the day where the synagogue would have worship, or they would have a place where they would read, and they would have a place where they would be taught. Now how the synagogue worked in those days was the ruler of that synagogue would choose somebody who came in. There would be all kinds of people that would come to the synagogue every Sabbath day. It was a ritual, it was a habit, it was, as Jesus said, as His custom was. And they would go in and the ruler would be there and the ruler would say, okay, today would you read the Scripture? Today would you teach us the Word of God? And so every Sabbath, it would probably be a different teacher. Maybe same every once in a while. There may be somebody that they don't know, somebody they do know, and they would go through there and they would open up a Scripture, they would read the Scripture, and they would teach the Scripture. And then they would go home and come back on the Sabbath, and they would do this continuously, continuously, continuously. Now, in that synagogue, I called it a dead synagogue. A dead synagogue, meaning there was no life in the synagogue. Life comes through the Spirit, and the Spirit, amen, will bring life through His Word. Jesus said, my words are life. Amen. So without the Word of God, there's going to be no life. All they ever taught back there in the synagogue was of the Old Testament. That's all they knew. That's all they had. That's all they knew. And today, that's still all they believe. And so you find this morning as Jesus, as His custom was from the day that He was going from town to town or there in His own town where He grew up, He went to the synagogue. He went to the synagogue, and every time He entered into the assembly of the assembly, it was a dead assembly. It was the boring reading of God's Word. It was the same teaching of the same person who quoted the same person over and over and over. It became something of mundane. It became something of just going through the motion, going through the time of the reading of God's Word, going through the teaching of it, hearing the same thing, hearing the same Word of God. And can I just say it like this morning in the way of church? We come to church and you come to church and I've been going to church for many years, and you go to church, and it's not this true. When you go to church, why you go? I mean, you hear the same message. I mean, you hear the same book. You hear the same truth. And as you hear the truth, sometimes you walk out of here, or sometimes you walk wherever you go, and you leave, and you say, I heard that before. There was nothing new today. You know, it just seemed like this preaches the old same old thing all the time. And so you wonder, why do you go to church then? Why do you go to a certain church? Why would you go to the synagogue when it's just the same old thing all the time? As you say, well, we can go and I need to go learn. And some people come, they come to the house of God and they learn. And they get knowledge. And they get the understanding. And they grow in their mind. They grow in their thought. They grow in their intellect. They become educated. They become very aware and very intellectual about the Bible and about the Lord and about God. But then, you know, it just ends there. Because, see, people, they want to learn and they want to know and they want to understand and they want to have a vast knowledge of Jesus and of the Bible and of understanding the things that took place maybe back in the Old Testament, maybe back in the days that Jesus walked, or the days of Paul and the days of Peter, and you know, all that may bring some sort of comfort. It might bring some sort of ease in their mind and heart. And you say, well, you come and you learn the same thing over and over and over and over. What's the use? Well, here's the difference. That day that Jesus walked into the dead assembly, life, for the first time, they experienced. You see, it's not you learning and not you growing and not you having a vast knowledge. It's you taking the Word of God and applying it. You taking the Word of God and doing it. There is where Christianity is. There's a many of people today who have vast knowledges of God and vast understanding of Christ and could quote you the Scripture, but have no ounce of Christianity in them. The reason I come back to the house of God, the reason I keep on coming and coming and coming and coming, is not necessarily that I get more knowledge or I get more understanding, but it gives me an opportunity to meet with God so that my life can change and be like God's life. See, it's not what you know that matters. It's what you wear. It's not what you have. It's what you do. And when Jesus walked into this synagogue, it changed the whole dimension. Would it be to God this morning that Jesus enter into this church this morning? It would change the dimension of me just learning the same old thing. Every once in a while I might preach something that you say, well, I didn't know that. Every once in a while, I might say something that might inspire you and say, boy, I think I'm going to do better with that. Every once in a while, I might, by accidentally, might kind of just give you a little bit of energy, a shot in the arm, that you may go and do something more different than you've done before. But as a whole today, it has to be that Jesus Christ is not that you want to know more, but you want to do more with Him. He lives His life through you. We can be real smart today, but real dead. Man, we can be real intellectual, but real non-moving. Oh God, help us today not to be as a synagogue that had no life. And Jesus, all His life, went to synagogues that had no life. You say, well, I'm not understanding why they don't have life, Brother Larry. Well, because of their dead doctrine. I mean, this is what the Jews believe. This is what Judaism believes. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one. They believe there's one God, and He's the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we believe that too. But they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the deity. They don't believe Jesus Christ is God. They don't believe He's the Son of God. They don't believe He was born of a virgin. They don't believe He died and was buried and resurrected the Son of God. They don't believe He's coming back someday. They don't believe He's God. They don't believe this morning that salvation's by the gospel. They don't believe that the death and burial and resurrection is the gospel. They don't believe that the only way you can go to heaven is through the gospel. They don't believe the gospel has the power unto salvation unto those who believe. They don't believe that. They don't believe this morning that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe He's the Savior. They don't believe He's the chief shepherd and the shepherd, the great shepherd. They don't believe He's the Redeemer. They don't believe this morning that He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. They don't believe He's the Lord of glory. They don't believe that. They don't believe this morning that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They don't believe that this morning. They don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back. They don't believe that Jesus' sacrifice was necessary for their sin. They don't believe any of that. That's why I can say they had a dead synagogue. A dead religion. You see, when there's a church and no conviction, I hear this all the time. I hear this quite often, that some people would like to go to church and they would like to go to church without having conviction. They would like to go to church and just enjoy themselves and have comfort. They want to go to church and sit there and listen to the message and listen to God's Word. And they may grow a little. They may know a little. They may become more familiar with it. They may become more intellectual with it. But don't step on my toes. Don't read my mail. Don't tell me how wrong I am. Don't tell me about my sin. Don't tell me I need to come to church. Don't tell me I need to read the Bible. Don't tell me I need to pray. Don't tell me I need to live for God. That's none of your business. That's between me and God, you just give me the scripture. See, they want church without conviction, and that's what they had. There's many churches out here will give you a church without conviction. But that's not where God's at. They wanted religion without redemption. See, they want religion. They want to come gather with the elders, come gather with the people, come gather in one place at one time on the Sabbath day. They wanted somebody to get up and read the Scripture and teach them the Scripture, and they won't go home and go their little way. They wanted religion, but they don't want redemption. They don't want to deal with their sin. They don't want to deal with their separation with God. They want to deal that they're dead in sins and trespasses. They don't want to deal with they're going to die and go to hell one day. They don't want to deal that there has to be a Savior in their life. There had to be a bloodshed. There had to be a Lamb of God. There had to be the Son of God who died and rose on the third day. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want a Redeemer. They want religion. That's why it's dead. In many churches today, they want religion, but they don't want redemption. They want singing, but they don't want the Spirit. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Larry? Well, when you got singing that's spiritually minded, it's singing that will exalt Christ. See, the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God will not speak of Himself, but He will speak of Christ. And when you got singing going on, and that singing is speaking about everybody else but Christ, that's not singing of the Spirit. The singing of the Spirit is spiritual songs and hymns and that brings forth and brings out the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's songs that the Spirit of God is in. Hey, there's a many songs in churches today, and they're not of God. They're not of Christ. It's a dead song. You say, well, I could think of the song because of the beat. Listen, Fred, you can go and listen to rock and roll and have a bunch of beat. That don't mean God's in it. You can listen to country and western and come up with all kind of feelings, all kind of emotions, all kind of things that go on through your heart and your mind. Country and western is one of the most awful music of all time to bring you down to a place of worthlessness. I mean, by the time you get through listening to most of those songs, you're thinking your wife or your husband's committing adultery. And by the time you get through listening to those songs and all that junk right there, everything is sexually, it seems like, motivated and moved. That then life is such a bore now, unless I go out there and ride on at least an electric bull. If I'm not out there popping the top and eating barbecue and doing the Cotton Eye Joe, then I'm not living life. Amen! Them are not spiritual songs, and a lot of times churches want to take that rhythm and take that beat and put a word in there like Jesus and think it's okay. the rock and roll, they think, well, we can just take the beat, the drums, and everything else and find rock and roll and throw in God in one of those words. And throw out the other words, throw in God. And now we got Christian rock and roll. Puke on that. There ain't no such an animal. I don't know how I got off on that, but maybe I just needed to. Bottom line is this morning concerning it's a dead synagogue and a dead assembly because they had dead doctrine. Man, when you leave Jesus out of your doctrine, when you leave Jesus out of your singing, when you leave Jesus out of your teaching, when you leave Jesus out of your preaching, you're dead. You're completely dead. There's absolutely no life in you. There's no life in anything. You can't get life out of dead. Hey, man, I've been around some dead people before. And when you go up to dead people, guess what? There's no life. It don't matter how much you want them to live. It don't matter how much you pray that they come back alive. It don't matter how much you do, how much blood you fill in their bodies, how much liquid you put in there, how much you put your hand and pray. It doesn't matter, friend, what you do. Dead is dead. You're not getting no life out of that. They're a dead synagogue, and that's all Jesus ever knew. Is dead. I'm telling you this morning, friend, if you find anything alive, you better stick to it. There's a lot of dead doctrine out there. And you can find it if you want to. You can be part of it if you have to. But friend, listen, that don't mean that that's all there is out there. If there's dead doctrine, then there's dead people. The Jews were lost. They're unbelieving Jews. They're blinding Jews. They don't know anything about Jesus. They have not put their trust and faith in Christ. They have turned from their sin and trusted Jesus. Matter of fact, this is going to be the same crowd that's just a few days later who's going to say, crucify Him, crucify Him. It's going to be the same crowd who says that we follow Moses and Abraham's our father and all of this understanding they have, they say, concerning that. They're more interested in washing of hands. They're more interested in keeping of feasts and festivals. They're more interested in not working on the Sabbath day than they are to trust in the Savior. Friend, they're dead people because of dead doctrine. They're unsaved unbelievers. They are blinded. That's what's in the synagogue. That's what the synagogue's full of. Now, can you imagine the contrast? Jesus walks in. He is God in the flesh. He is all life. Without Him, there's no life. He's the creator of life. He's of life. Because of Him, you got life. And boy, here He comes in, and He's coming into a deadness of all dead, the synagogue of that day. And He walks in amongst not only a dead doctrine, but amongst dead people. I think I've preached in churches like that before. I mean, I walk in and I'm preaching, and I'm giving it all that I got and all that I have. And I'm trying to preach with authority, yet with passion and compassion, and yet in love, and yet being straightforward and being just saying how it is. And boy, they're sitting out there like... And the only comments they have is after is, you're leaving, right? Guess what, preacher? You'll never come back here again. I've heard those words before. I don't know, but with dead doctrine, there's dead people. But not only is it dead people, but there were dead scribes. They made that comment there in verse 22. He said that he taught about Jesus, though as one that had authority and not as the scribes. There were dead scribes. The scribes that were getting up there, the teachers who were teaching in the synagogues, the leaders of the synagogue, they were ignorant men. They knew nothing of Christ. They knew nothing of God. They knew nothing of Jesus coming, of the Messiah being there. They had no idea. They had no clue who this man was. They were deceived. They were carnal. Hey, Fred, matter of fact, after they heard Jesus speak, the Bible says in verse 22, and they were astonished. That word astonished means they were blown out of their mind. Now, can you just imagine? You've gone to synagogue for years. And all you hear is somebody get up there and do something like this. Huh. I'm elder. I'm Elder So-So. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Exodus 13. Let's read. Here, read Exodus 13. Now, this is what Exodus 13 means. Gives them a little 15-minute exhortation of Exodus 13. Let's close the Bible and let's just go home. And that was the end of that service. You say, how do you know it worked that way? Well, if you go, you don't have to turn there now, but Luke chapter 4, and you go to verse 16, it says Jesus came to the synagogue. They asked Jesus to read. The Bible says he took the book. He read out of Isaiah chapter 61. And after he got through reading, he gave a book back to the minister and sat down. That we know that's how the form of the whole service went. Come in, read, teach, sit down, go home. Every time. Every time. Every time. And so we find with that thought process, can you imagine now Jesus walking into the synagogue, into a dead synagogue, and he's life. The Bible says that it blew the mind of the people. They said, "What? What is going on? There's not even a word to explain what's going on. There's been never anybody who come into synagogue for thousands of years that ever come in and had such an authority as this man." And what made Jesus have such an authority? Because he was one who breathed the Word of God to him. He's the one who taught the Word of God. He's the one who gave him the Word of God. And he gave it with a power. He gave it with authority. He gave it with a confidence. He gave it with a persuasion. He gave it with no doubt. He gave it that it's true. He gave it without anyone thinking that it's some man-written Bible. But it's God's authoritative given Scripture. Buddy, unbelievable. This guy walks in and they find that now they're astonished. But then they're awakened. We notice that they say, well, there's one, this man here is different than the rest. Nobody else is like him. Oh God, would you come today and would you preach, dear Jesus, to Glory Baptist Church? Oh God, would you take the Word and take the man and take your Spirit this morning, and would you breathe on into this place the words of God, and would you preach to us with the authority you did on that day, and maybe walk out of here astonished and blown out of our mind that Jesus was here. Jesus came this morning. He preached to us. And I come to hear Christ. I come to hear the Lord. You say, well, Brother Larry, how can I get to the Lord? How can I hear from God? Well, on your part, you're going to have to get your heart right with God. You're going to have to confess your sin prior to getting here. You're going to have to pray before you come to this place and say, oh God, I'm fixing to go down to the Glory Baptist Church and I'm going to go there to hear from God. I'm going to go there to hear from what God will have for me for this day and for all my life. I ask you, Lord, if there's anything in the way, any sin, anything that has caused me and you to be separated or divided, Lord, is there anything with my brethren, anything with my sister, anything with my family, Lord? Have I done wrong? Have I lied? Have I told a story? Lord, have I cussed? Have I done wrong and wicked before your eyes? I pray you'll speak to me. I pray you'll get me right. I pray you'll clean me up. I pray that you get me straight before I get to the house of God. Because when I get to the house of God, I want to meet Jesus there. The second thing that you got to take is that preacher is going to have to be walking with God. Somewhere that preacher is going to have to get with Jesus. He's going to have to hear from Christ. He's going to have to get with God. He's going to have to get along with the Lord. He's going to have to get a message from God. He's going to have to get the power to preach it in. He's going to get the authority to preach it of. He's going to have the love of God to give to the people. So when the people will get there, that they don't want to hear God's Word, their sin is right, their life is right, they're straight with God, and then the pure Word of God through Jesus and His preaching can preach to us. And we can be astonished, blown out of our mind. It matters this morning the type of preacher that you have. But it matters too of what type of crowd he's preaching to. Sometimes every time I preach the same message,
and I get different reactions. Why? Because you come in different conditions. Some of you come in this morning, you're ready to hear. Some of y'all not ready to hear. Some of y'all are going to go through the service, and by the end of the service, you're ready, but it's over. And if you come back tonight, you'd get it, but you don't. Some come in, and you're not ever going to get it because you're not ever coming to get it. You're just coming. So we find this morning, as we see, they were awakened, but then they were aware that they were not as scribes, meaning that there's a difference. There's a difference in somebody coming into your church as somebody who's a preacher coming in here and preaching in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It's a difference. It's a difference of somebody coming up here, standing behind the pulpit, and in a monotone voice, and just don't move, don't do anything, and all he does is just sage, he speaks, he quits, and he goes home, and you go home too. It's a difference. There's a difference in the power of the preaching. There's a difference in the authorization of the preaching. There's a difference in the... Now, I'm not saying my makeup. I'm not saying my loudness. I'm not saying my movement. I'm not saying my sweating, my spitting. I'm not saying any of that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is when you hear a preaching of God's Word, and if you're saved and born again, you'll know whether God has met with this or not. And you'll know whether He's walking with God. Amen? All that comes together in this synagogue. Jesus shows up. Now, nobody knows Christ. So we find that now Jesus, not only does he enters into a dead assembly, but now he exposes a new doctrine. Because I want you to notice there in verse 22, it says they were astonished at his doctrine. Not at the scribes' doctrine, not Moses' doctrine, Abraham's doctrine. That's all they've heard of. But Jesus has showed up with His doctrine. And friend, it's some made a difference here in this day. He says there in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 16, if you want to turn there with me, I just want you to notice about His doctrine. Luke chapter 4 and about verse 16, the Bible says, it says, and He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Now here's fixing to be the difference though. They heard the book of Isaiah because that's what they went through all the time. But in verse 18 and then in verse 21, Jesus said that Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 has now been fulfilled in your ears. That's the difference. Jesus came as a fulfillment of the Scripture. He came as one who is the Scripture. And me and you, today, we preach the Word of God as Jesus is the Word. But friend, when you leave out Christ, you leave out God. And that's where you find dead. And so Jesus is saying that my doctrine comes right out of the book of Isaiah. But look at John chapter 5. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 46. Well, Jesus really just says it clearly here too, because they're real quick to say that they're of Moses. They follow Moses. They're of Moses. Jesus tells them in John chapter 5, verse 46, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me." And look at this. "For he wrote of me." Now, see, that synagogue would not be dead if when those scribes and those elders and those teachers would have got up and would said, "Hey, listen, out of the book of Isaiah, here's coming one who's going to fulfill that scripture. He's coming. He may not be here yet he may be here, but here's one's coming. Or they would have read the book of Moses. The book of Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Leviticus. You'll find that that is the book of Moses. And they both, Jesus said that Moses wrote of me. So that means those five books, the Pentateuch, is the books that have been written about Jesus. Jesus is all in those books. But those scribes, those elders, those teachers has never taught about this man named Jesus out of those books. That's why it's dead. Let me get another one just to convince. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Luke 24, verse 44. Jesus, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Boy, now Jesus has expanded it. He said, not only am I in the first five books of the Bible, but I'm in all the prophets, minor or major. Not only that, but I cover all the Psalms. Within the Psalms, I'm going to cover Ecclesiastes and Proverbs as well. He covers the whole book, the whole Old Testament. And Jesus is saying, and that's of me. But not one time did those elders and scribes in the dead synagogue ever preach Jesus out of the Old Testament. Not one time. That's why it's dead. And if you hear preaching this morning, tomorrow, or next Sunday, you go somewhere else and you don't hear Jesus and you don't hear the doctrines of Christ, you don't hear the teachings of Christ, you are in a dead assembly with dead people, with dead leaders. That's all you have. That's all you can come up with. Jesus exposed his doctrine, though. I'm going to say Mark chapter 1, back into our text, says, His doctrine. In other words, Jesus is teaching out of the Old Testament his teachings, his beliefs, his instructions, his words. And man, when you start teaching, Jesus said, Jesus believed, Jesus instructed, Jesus words, Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Jesus. Friend, you'll find his doctrine. His doctrine surrounding him. His doctrines about him. His doctrine. Hey, they tell me, I've read in books, I heard on videos and on tapes and CDs, do not preach doctrine or it will kill your church. Jesus came into a dead church and made it alive by doctrine. Somebody has it wrong. I don't believe Jesus does. You preach the doctrines of Christ. You preach that. You preach his teachings. You preach what he instructed. You preach how he directed. You preach about Jesus. We find, secondly, it was about his authority. The Bible says in verse 22, for he taught them as one that had authority. He taught with power. He taught with force. He taught right. Everyone was less than him. Everyone is below him. Everyone is short of him. That's why this morning, and I'm not saying I'm a great preacher. I'm not saying I'm a preacher at all. I'm saying that if you would have probably a preacher, he'd probably do better than this church than I can do. But I'm saying I'm giving it my all, and I'm giving it all every time I ever preach. I lay it out on the ground. I lay it out. I don't hold back nothing anytime. But in doing that tonight or this morning, I find that Jesus Christ and his authority, that when you preach with authority, that when you preach with a power, which you preach with a confidence, you're going to get ridiculed for that. You're going to get knocked down for that. People are not going to like that. People are going to say you're arrogant. People are going to say that you are sarcastic. People are going to say that you're a know-it-all. People are going to say that's your opinion. People are going to say all kind of things. Amen. Eventually, they turn your church into a cult. Because you preach with authority. And Jesus did the same. And friend, I'm telling you today, I don't have to quote. I don't have to quote you. And boy, this really gets me. I mean, I don't do poems. I know if you go to Google now, Google can tell you how to be a preacher now. You don't have to be called. You ain't got to be licensed. You ain't got to have nobody lay hands on you. You ain't got to be set apart. You ain't got to do anything. You don't have to be ordained or anything. All you got to do is go to Google. And you go to Google and you become a pastor if you want to. If you want to get a certificate, you probably pay $10. They send you one. This now certifies so-and-so to be a gospel preacher. You have one of those if you want to. I'll give you $10 for it. I'm going to start a fire with it. That's all I'm going to use it for. It'll be a very expensive match. But friend, you can go and do that if you want to, but in being a preacher, it takes more than that. It takes something that God has to call, God has to lay His hand, and God has to breathe upon, and God has to lead and guide and walk through. Amen? And so when you really have salvation, you'll have Christ. But when you get the call of God, you'll preach Christ. Amen. That's just how it works. You can't do anything different. You get saved, you're going to love and walk for Christ. And when you get called to preach, you're going to preach and lead by Christ. That's just how that works today. We find His authority. We find it was His glory. The Bible says there in the... Back, turn to Luke with me real quick here this morning. Luke chapter 4 and verse 20, or verse 15 actually. It says, He taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. Being glorified of all. Jesus was the glory. He was the one that they looked to. We don't worship the Bible. We don't worship the teachings, the doctrines. We worship Jesus. Amen. He was glorified of all. I want you to notice, look at verse 20. And He closed the book and He gave it again to the minister. He sat down and the eyes of all them were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. All eyes were on Him. That's the service that has life. That's the desire of this pastor's heart. That every service, our eyes will be upon Him. Amen? Not upon me. Please stop watching me. Stop looking at me. Stop making all kinds of assessments of me. Stop trying to figure out me. And look upon Him. Amen. Look at Jesus today, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Him today. In the singing, are you listening for Him? In the praying, are you listening for Him? In the preaching, are you listening for Him? In the teaching of Sunday school, are you listening of Him? So when you leave out of here, your eyes been set upon Jesus. If that's the case, you won't be dead. But when He came, the Bible says that He was glorified above all. All eyes were set upon Him. Look at secondly. The Bible says that all ears were for Him. He says He began to say unto them, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. He said, you listen to what I just said. I read Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, verse 18 and 19 here. He said, that very Scripture that you have called it to be dead for many years has now come alive, and in your very ears it's now fulfilled. And that's how you are experiencing every service here. As the Word of God is preaching, as the preaching of God's Word goes forth, and you're coming here with all ears. What's that elephant's name that has those big ears? Huh? Dumbo? Dumbo, yeah. Brother and sister Dumbo is coming in. There's a bunch of Dumbos in here. We got big old ears like Dumbo because, man, all we're coming here and we're going to come in here. We're going to set our eyes upon Him and we're going to lay our ears toward Him. And brother, you preach Jesus to me. You preach the Word of God to me. Now don't tell me about what somebody else said. Don't quote me what some president did. Don't give me something else that somebody wrote. I want the Word of God. I want the quotes of Christ. I want the Scriptures of God. I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to feel it. I want to be in it. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. God, enter into this church. Enter into our lives through our ears. Oh, may our eyes be set upon Thee. May our ears hear You. You see, this morning, God's speaking to every one of us. Some of you need to be saved. You know that. Today needs to be that day you get born again. You've been messing around. You've been fooling around. You've been kind of being to the place where you become very, very casual with it. As if you can't die, or that you won't die, or that your breath will always be able to be there to breathe, or you wake up in the morning, you've got no guarantee of any of that. But I'm going to tell you a guarantee, though, is there's a hell when you lift up your eyes if you're not saved. That's a guarantee. You don't have a guarantee that you'll wake up, but you got a guarantee when you do, you're going to be in hell. If you're saved this morning, there's a guarantee. You don't know if tomorrow will get here, but there's a guarantee when you wake up, you'll be with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. You need to get saved. Some of you need to get right with God. Sometimes it's time to fool around. Grow up. Mature. Take the pacifier. Throw it in the trash. Remove the diaper. And stop waiting people to burp you along the way. It's time to grow up. Time to be a man. Time to be a woman. Time to serve God. Time to go through the battle, through the fire. Time to be leaders rather than followers. There's some here need to join the church. There's some here needs to decide that I'm going to be part of this church. I'm going to be part of this congregation. I'm going to give my prayer. I'm going to give my tithe. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to give my total heart. I'm going to be undivided. And I'm going to give to this church the rest of my days in serving the Lord. Of all your support, you need to do that. Some of us this morning, we just need to make a decision of what we're going to do with our lives. God might have called you to preach or called you to the ministry, and you're still rebellious with that. I don't know where you might be. I don't know what's going on, but if you don't look to Him, and you don't hear Him, and if you don't have hearts toward Him, you'll never get there. You'll be just like that dead synagogue. Saturday after Saturday after Saturday after Saturday. Until Jesus shows up. Oh, can I say here this morning, in its deadness, Jesus is not the center of all worship. In the synagogue every Saturday, Jesus has never been the center of worship. But guess what? On this day, He's the center of worship. You know what? Today you can make Jesus the center of your worship. You'll move from dead to life. Oh, matter of fact, there's a verse for that. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth in Him that raised from dead shall not perish, but have everlasting life, shall be passed from death unto life. Ain't that something? Oh, can I say, in His doctrine, Jesus is now the center of all worship. He will have glory. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. It says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Ephesians 3:21. Unto Him be glory in the church, be Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. 1 Peter 5:11, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Talking about the glory that Jesus should get in this church, in your life. Revelations 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they He created. What makes a difference in a church, whether it's dead or alive? Jesus. Jesus. My third and last point, Jesus draws in the assembly. But I want you to notice this. Turn back to Mark. Now everybody in the synagogue is of the Jew, right? And so they've been there a long time, they've gone through this a long time, then Jesus shows up. Nobody knows who Jesus is. While Jesus is preaching truth unfiltered, He's preaching truth with authority. He's taken all the Old Testament and making it Him. He's preaching right to them. And they don't know who He is, but won't you look and find out who does know who He is. The Bible says in verse 23, "And there was in their synagogue a man." This man is in their synagogue. He's sitting in the synagogue. He sat in the synagogue. This ain't his first day to come. He's in the synagogue. He's part of the synagogue. The Bible says, as he's in there, he's sitting there, the Bible says, "A man with an unclean spirit, he cried out." And when he cries out, the first thing he says is, "I know who you are." Nobody else in the synagogue knows who he is. But the one who's full of the devil and the unclean spirit, not the man, because he don't know who Jesus is. The devil in the man, he cries out, "Hey, let us alone!" You see, when preaching with authority of God's Word behind and with the Spirit of God, it will cause those who are full of the devil to cry out, to leave, to not come. I've been told many a day, many times, "Brother Larry, you know, we bring them in and you run them off." I've been told that. "Brother Larry, you know, you preach hard, you preach against sin, you make it real difficult, you create real havoc with us. We tell our family, hey, come to church, come to hear Brother Larry preach, hear the Word of God." When you get there and you tell them they're a sinner, and they get offended, and they don't want to come back. You know, "What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to face God one day? What do you want me to say when you can't be in my shoes? I got to be in my own shoes, and I got to be accountable. He's of the Spirit must bear witness of the Spirit and of the calling of God, and I got to give an account of what I preach and when I preach and how I preach it." Amen. And you don't have to give an account for it. I do. And that people come into this church lost without God and going to hell when they die. And I don't have enough about me to tell them the truth about God's Word, that without Christ Jesus you're going to die and go to hell. And they get mad at me and they get upset with me and then the church gets upset with me. I tell you something different. You say, "Well, Brother Larry, you could change maybe a little bit of personality about you." I get it. I'm working on it. There was a day when I told you, "If you don't like it, don't let the door hit your backside." Now, that's a wrong thing to say. But I've said that before. Right? "You don't like it, lump it." That's not good. That's not going to build a church, right? People ain't going to come in here, "Listen, hey, that guy said told me to hump it or leave it or whatever, you know." But when it comes down to just telling the truth, whether I tell it with a loud voice, will I tell it was sweating? Or will I tell it was spitting? Does it matter? All I'm concerned about is getting told. And if I'm going to tell you something, when you're preaching the Word of God and you got the power of God on you and God's hands upon you, and I'm not saying He is on me, and I'm not saying He's not on me. I'm just saying it's about when Jesus Christ was preaching or teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, man, that devil that was in the church, and I don't know if there might be a devil in this church. Amen? There was a devil in that synagogue many years, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up and it shows Himself. "Ah!" And He says to Jesus, "What do y'all have? What do you got to do with us?" In other words, "Why are you in my territory? Why you come to my synagogue? What in the world made you come this away? Oh, what in the world is happening in my synagogue when Jesus shows up? I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth. You're the Holy One of God. What in the world are you come to destroy us?" I would pray with all that I have, and I'd hope you'd pray with all you have, that your preacher will be so full of God, so so driven and so influenced by the Holy Ghost of God, and such a lover of Christ, and such a preacher of the Word, that if there's any devil in this room as he preaches, that devil would scream out. That's the type of preaching I like. And that's what we need if we're going to have a church of life. So here's the demon. Not the person. Now don't get that misunderstood. It's not the man. It's the demon in the man. So now he cries out. So there's a demonic man in the dead assembly. There's a desperate man now because Jesus is there. Jesus' presence. Jesus' preaching. Jesus' power. He does three things, and I close, Brother Keith. He cries out. There in that verse 24, he says, "Let us alone." And that's every time when somebody's preaching and when somebody's laying the truth out as easy and as plain as it can come and is giving it with great conviction and giving it with great authority, you know what the people respond? "Let us alone." Yeah. Leave me. Matter of fact, there's 87 more religious organizations in Stafford that we can go to so I can be left alone. Who would want to go to... I don't understand going to church to be left alone. If I'm going to church, I'm going to say, "God, don't leave me alone." Because I know me, when I look in the mirror in the morning, in the evening, or whenever I look in the mirror, I say, "Oh, God, help this fella." You feel like that too? There's so much wrong about me. I need so much help. This morning, I know I'm the preacher, but don't leave me alone. You rattle my cage. You shake my world. You make my heart hurt. You draw me to my knees. Bring a tear down in my eye. Let me see that my heart is desperately wicked. Not only did he come crying out, but he confessed up. Verse 24. "I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God." So he confesses that. Now you'd think he'd be saved by now. If someone says, I know Jesus, you ever heard him talking like that? "Hey, you go to church?" "No." "You know Jesus?" "Oh yeah, I know him." So did that demon. I bet you've asked that person who don't go to church and don't live for God, don't work for the Lord, and don't do anything for God. He lives for himself. He lives in the world. He's of the world. He's lost. We understand that. He says he knows Jesus because he's got some kind of mental ascent towards Jesus, some intellect toward him, or some knowledge when he's a child. He probably went to Sunday school. But anyway, he has all these little water. Jesus turned water into wine. That's why he drinks wine, stuff like that. And so we come to the place, and as say, "Do you know Jesus?" "Oh, I know Jesus." So you ask, "Okay, let me ask you something. Do you know that Jesus is the Holy One of God?" And they're going to say, "No, I didn't know that." Even the devil knows that. The devil knows more than you know. That's something there. And he's crying out saying, "Leave us alone," to Jesus. We find, lastly, coming out. The Bible says, Jesus said to him, verse 25, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him." Can I tell you what you're going to get from Jesus? When you're lost and full of the devil, and when you want to live your own way and do your own thing, let me tell you what the response is going to be from Jesus. He rebuked him. He said, "Shut up and come out." And that's exactly what Jesus would say to you this morning if you're lost. Stop talking. And come out. Come out from your sin. Come out from where you are. And come to me. And I'll give you eternal life. Stop talking. Stop talking. You talk too much. Jesus said one time, he said that they, with their lips, they praise him, but with their heart, they're far from me. Stop talking. come out. Come to Jesus. Stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Oh, God, help. God, help us this morning. Help us to be drawn unto Thee. May our eyes, our ears, our heart be upon Christ. You sing, Brother George, as we listen and we make a decision. You choose today. Choose whom you will serve. You choose.